Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is our gospel lesson. Before I get to our gospel lesson this morning, I want to spend some time on our introit. Our entrance song, if you will, generally includes words from psalms, songs sung to God about his great work. Especially, I want to spend time on these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Right now, you are still being told to be very afraid. Fear of disease, fear of death, fear of your neighbor, fear of your brothers and sisters in Christ, fear even of going to your Lord's house. Whom shall I fear? The Christian holds his faith boldly, confesses it, knowing that God has placed us under his care, knowing that God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die in our stead, so that we might have life, have it abundantly and eternally. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of mine enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. All the while the media has been telling you to be afraid, now they are also showing you all of the violence, all of the hatred, all of the terrible things that are going on in our world right now. Our world that is ruled by the prince, the father of lies, who makes you believe that you are the only person in this whole world who holds to God's word. But do not fear. Do not be given to violence. Do not be given to hatred. Don't hate someone for the fact that they might look a little bit different than you, and don't hate yourself. God is with you. His Son has died for all mankind. So take heart. Do not be afraid to come to the Lord's house. Do not be afraid of your brother and sister in Christ. I don't know when we're going to all shake hands again, and I know you huggers are really having a hard time with this. Stop fearing. Trust God. Honestly, what comes after death for the Christian? Eternal life with Jesus. We don't have to be so afraid. We don't have to be filled with hatred. We don't have to be filled with violence. We must instead be filled with the Word of God. The Word of God has great power. And when the media tries to convince you that you are the only person that believes what God's Word says, that you are some sort of hateful bigot for standing up for God's Word, remember how Elijah felt so many years ago. Elijah comes before the Lord and cries out that he is the only one left who confesses God as the Lord. And the Lord reminds him that he will leave 7,000 in Israel. 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal, not kissed this false idol. Christians, stand up to the evils of this world. The only thing that we bow our knee to is the true God, the creator of the universe, that same creator who decides to be with you this very morning as he brings his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. That is who we bend our knees to. 7,000 in the whole land of Israel were faithful. Think of all the things that God had done for them. He had delivered them out of the bonds of slavery. He provided them manna and spiritual drink, water flowing even from a rock. All of these wonderful miracles he bestowed on his people, and yet there would only be 7,000 left who honored his name. Our culture is turning very much against God, just as he said it would, for the world hates Jesus Christ. And the world will hate you for following him. But do not fear the one who can kill the body. Fear rather the one who can destroy the soul. Your hope is not in this world. Your judge is not this world. Jesus Christ will return. And on that last day, all the bodies who were peacefully resting in the ground will rise up, soul and body reunited, to sing the praises of Jesus Christ for eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. That's what awaits us as Christians. So we will not be given into fear. We will not be given into hatred. We will not be given into violence. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Jesus Christ gives you every single thing that you need to support this body, this life, but more importantly, eternity. The Word of God has power. The Word of God gave a great catch of fish in our gospel lesson. Simon had been out all night with other fishermen, and they caught nothing. Now, when I was a kid and my dad would take me fishing with him, when I wouldn't catch anything, he would tell me it's because I wasn't holding my mouth right. Now, it took me until the age of 35 this year, when I was fishing with my own kids and my dad, when I finally just said, "Dad, did that mean you didn't want me to talk?" He's like, "Well, you scared all the fish away by talking, right?" Yeah. The fishermen, that's what they did for a living. Jesus Christ had just proclaimed why he had come into the world. The most important message that there is. And yet, at his word, Simon Peter submits. Jesus says, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And at first he says, "Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing." Now, how often do we think we know better than God? How often do we try to use those same sorts of phrases at him? He knows best. He has everything, and he gives it to his children. St. Peter submits. He says, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." And so much fish come into that net that their boat becomes overwhelmed and begins to sink. And as they call a second boat over, that boat becomes overwhelmed and begins to sink. How great is the word of God. How efficacious it is. How powerful it is. At the word of God, everything was created. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God breathed life into dirt that he had formed into a man, and there was life. God has knit each and every one of you together in your mother's womb for his plan and his purpose. At the word of God, water becomes a life-giving baptism, rich in grace and blessing. Now it gives you the ability to overcome the old Adam and live to newness of life. At the word of God, words spoken by your pastors, "I forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And at those words, your sins are gone. The word of God joined to bread and wine. And then Jesus Christ comes to us physically, in his body and in his blood, that what you receive cleanses you of your sins. Not just bread and wine, but the very body and blood of Jesus. Truly take some time to comprehend that. It's impossible, but meditate on the fact that your God, your King of Kings, your Lord of Lords, the creator of the entire universe and its judge, will be with you this very day in his very body and blood with the whole host of heaven, telling you, "I love you and I forgive you." What greater place is there than the household of God? Do not be given to fear. Do not be given to hatred. Do not be given to violence. Turn the TV off. Open God's word. Meditate on it. Spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ, receiving his gifts. When Peter sees the miracle that happens at the word of Jesus, he falls down at his feet. He bows himself low in the presence of God and confesses his sin. That is our natural state in the presence of God. For we cannot stand in the presence of his magnitude. Our sin is so great that we fall to our faces and cry out, "Forgive me, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But he says, "Dear brother, dear son, dear daughter, I forgive you. I love you. Go forth and share this good news with everyone. In a world that hates him and hates you for following him, in a world that tries to make you disbelieve everything that God's word says, remember the words from Peter in our epistle lesson. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." How can you give a defense if you are not filled with the word of God? If you are not filled with his body and his blood, if you do not come to his house regularly to hear about the forgiveness of the salvation that belongs because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, how can we make a defense of our faith if our faith is allowed to be withered away to nothingness? Notice that Jesus feeds them in their souls. He proclaims the message of why he had come into the world before he gives this great catch of fish. At the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, he proclaimed why he had come, and then he fed them with the bread that sustains this body. What are the priorities? First is to hear the one thing needful, to receive it, and then go out in the world and proclaim it. This godless, forsaken world tries to tell you that you must keep your faith in a lockbox all week, and that you have only 1 hour to actually let Jesus be a part of your life. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not pay attention to the world. Rather, proclaim who he is, because this world so desperately needs it. As they spew their hatred, share the love of Jesus. As they spew their violence, uphold the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not something that you can simply put into a box, but rather he is the light of the world. And he uses you, dear children, to shine his light through the darkness. So let your soul first be fed. This should be your priority week in and week out, being filled with the word of God, that your light may shine even brighter in this darkness. And when these people, your neighbors, friends, and family see this wonderful joy in you, be ready to defend your joy. Tell them of who Jesus Christ is. And if it's a struggle for you to proclaim all of these wonderful things, do what so many Christians through the ages have done, including in our Gospels. Simply tell them, "Come and see. Come to the house of the Lord. Hear of his wonderful deeds through his word preached and read. See the wonderful life-giving sacraments. See the joy that is in the hearts of us Christians, for we will not be afraid, we will not be terrified, we will not be filled with hatred, and we will not be filled with violence. We will bend our knee to Jesus Christ. We will serve him. We will love and serve our neighbor." And so as we go out, the church sings these wonderful words. "Come, follow me," the Savior spake, "all in my way abiding. Deny yourselves, the world forsake, obey my call and guiding. O bear the cross, whate'er betide, take my example for your guide. Then let us follow Christ our Lord and take the cross appointed, and firmly clinging to his word, in suffering be undaunted. for those who bear the battle strain, the crown of heavenly life obtain. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.